due to some violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. A reading rainbow.
A reading rainbow. A reading rainbow. This is the CBS Evening News. With Dan Rather reporting from CBS News headquarters in New York.
Good evening. Danger. War. Killer. Fraud. CIA. Mayhem. Crisis. Horrible. Inflation, military threat, flaming debris, fatal heart attack, stress injuries, prison disaster, economic collapse, dangerous radiation, a tide of violence and human misery, a liar and an unremorseful killer, communist international smuggling pipeline, starving victims, and how they die, chemical weapons, carpet bomb deaths, top FBI, killed and injured children, police conspiracy, negative attacks, discipline, sex and drinking binges, dying of a heart attack, dying of breast cancer, dying of a Japanese nuclear bomb, mountains of credit card debt, the mountain of cocaine, tons of cocaine, atomic bomb radiation experiments, unwitting test subjects, dangerous radiation, marijuana abuse, hooked on drugs, time for us to bug out. Rock, rock, rock by rape, rock. Rocked. Rocked by rape. Rocked. Rocked. Rocked by rape. Sex, drugs, and rocked by rape. Nazi war criminals, cancer, darkness, murder, caution, terrorist, castigation, police conspiracy, dramatic urban torture, drunk driving, hostage siege, government shutdown, collapses, desperation, despair, deep into debt, criminal, persecuted, semi-automatic handgun, explosive gunman killed a tourist, funeral victims, racist massive lawsuit, hostage, ethnic war, cancer death rate fleeing for their lives, CIA narcotics operations, hungry, homeless, frustrated terrorists, spoiled, unsanitary, hard-hitting losers, brutal, bizarre, critical bombing, the gangs rule, criminal anti-government love triangle, deeper and deeper into damage, even death. Anti-drug DEA, worldwide ban. Time for us to bug out. Rock, rock, rock by rape. Rock, rock, rock by rape. Rock, rock, rock by rape. Sex, drugs, and rock by rape. Disgruntled conspirator attack, killed. U.S. warplane went down in flames, crash, gunned down, shooting death, blood drops, murderer. Desperate tragedy, isn't he dead? Death penalty, ransom note, forbidding, notorious, overwhelming, communist, urban punishment, low ethics, extortion and murder. A plane crash set an entire neighborhood on fire. International smuggling pipeline, make it faster, better, cheaper. Health risk, criminal, murdering a man, tough. Diplomatic hell on earth. Magnetic radiation. Fraudulent assassins. Mysterious murder. Chemical terrorism. Military targets. Fatal crash. Danger. The freak accident. No known survivors. Wild and woolly semi-automatic truck bomb. Emergency anti-fatal shooting rampage. Notorious negative police brutality. Fear. The hidden Nazis next door. Marxist rebels. Serious murderer. Accidents, problems, punitive damages. Like that negative, heart-wrenching controversy. Time for us to bug out. Rock, rock, rock by rape. Rock, rock, rock by rape. Rock, rock, rock by rape. sex, drugs, and drop by rape.
Bug out, bug out, bug out, bug, bug.
And that's part of our world tonight. For the CBS Evening News, Dan Rather reporting. Good night, and have a great weekend.
Okay, we'll let you start it off. And 5, 4, 3, 2... One, man. Go.
I saw Wayne's World. I knew not to say one. All right, anyway. Hey, everybody, and welcome to the radio show that features Droops and Obfuscated. This is episode 6, and today is August the 6th, 2004. And I didn't mention the name of the show because we're about to discuss this right now. Obfuscated, why don't you give me some opinion, buddy?
Well, we had a situation. Droops didn't want to call it, Droops did not want to call it the Droops Show anymore because why is that?
Because there's more than just Droops on the show now.
Okay, and so we decided last week to call it a new name. And what was our new name?
The new name was Dev Null.
So we put it out there, and we got a lot of people with diarrhea.
Diarrhea of the mouth.
Diarrhea of the mouth. Supposedly there's a show out there that's never been released. Supposedly it's going to be released, and it's called Dev Null. And you know, on a little side tangent, you know what I don't like, Droops?
What's that, buddy?
You know when you go to do something and you think you're just doing the best intentions, and you do something right, and somebody tries to make you feel like an ass about it?
Yeah.
Don't you hate that?
I really hate that.
That really pisses me off. But
like,
you know,
there's one thing to say that, like, you know, I was doing this other than, oh, no, this is hell broke loose.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of silly.
Yeah. We wish the person with the show would at least came out to us at first and stop making metaphors about things, you know, and just come out and tell us about it and not have us actually have to go look out for it. But
mm-hmm.
That person knows who it is. So we've named it something, and we try to call this person up to ask them what we should do.
Yeah, if it was a cool name or if there was something else that had that name.
We wanted to get permission before we used the name. So we're going to go off in a short clip of us trying to call the person, and this is it.
Hello. No one is available to take your call. Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, Snake, this here is Droops and Obfuscated, and we're just trying to check, because we came out with a new name. We're trying to check if it's cool with anything that you know of. Like, we're not going to encroach on anyone's stuff that they've already decided they were going to do and whatever. But Infonomicon is the name that we've come up with, and we're recording this, and we're going to put it on our show, and we really wish that you would answer the phone. But you can call us back, and sure you find our phone number, and you have a great day at work today, buddy. Bye.
And we're back.
And that was a great little clip.
Yes, no one answered the phone, so we couldn't get the information from that. So we decided on a new name, and if you don't like it or if you got another show to call that, you can just fucking stick it up your ass. So what's the new name?
The new name is Infonomicon.
Infonomicon. Very hard to say. And we love it.
Very hard to type and spell.
And spell. That's what we like. So
we don't want to make it easy.
Yeah. So let's get off of that for right now. That's all said and done. We have a new name. And we have one email. Somebody, did you get any email this week?
I got no email this week.
Okay. I got one email from Pixel Theme, the winner of the iPod. And he's very excited about the iPod, and he says some good things, and he says it's nice to see some shows out there that deal more with tech and not who is getting harassed by the government.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we like to do, because, you know, the government doesn't care enough about us to want to harass us yet. So we'll see how that goes.
Hopefully.
Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else you want to talk about, housekeeping or anything like that?
Yeah, actually I do have a little housekeeping. There's a project, it's called freelinuxcd.org. Just go to the website, and send them some of your junk CDs. I'm doing it. It's a cool thing. It's a cool thing for everybody. And the link's on the show notes.
Okay, it's freelinux.com?
Freelinuxcd.org.
Okay, I fucked that up good, okay?
You were close.
Cool. But no cigar, right? Okay, on to the news.
All right.
You go first, man.
Okay, well, last week we talked about a telephone that was also a Wi-Fi phone. So you could use it in your home network, or you could use it at your work network, or you could be really cool and, I don't know, use the phone and it'd be nice. Now, that's not actually on the market, per se, but there actually is one that's now on the market. It's a phone, a PDA, and a Wi-Fi phone. And it's made by HP. And I really like the way Pocket PCs are set up. I have a Pocket PC. HP makes a really pretty one. Mine's actually a compact from back in the day, but if I got a new one, it'd be an HP. But one thing that I've had trouble with playing with them in the store or playing with other people's is the clunky interface Microsoft has for these things. Now, it's, you know, a couple buttons. You don't have to do much with it. But the whole smartphone with Microsoft software on there is pain in the ass. And Nokia, Motorola, they're coming out with some that aren't obviously going to be running the Microsoft software that'll be a lot better. This is the first one on the market. And it's selling for $500. And you have to pay $79.99 or $89.99 a month, depending on which T-Mobile rate plan that you choose. And it's really pretty looking. I hope Microsoft will improve the interface. That's all I got on that one.
Okay, I don't have an article on this, but I do want to bring up Skype, S-K-Y-P-E, which we talked about before on the show, which deals with it works. You do. If anybody remembers, what was that? Remember you used to make phone calls over the internet?
Dialpad.com.
That's right, dialpad.com. But that became a pay site later on. That was about, 3 years ago? 4 years ago? Okay, there's a new thing called Skype, S-K-Y-P-E, and you can make phone calls over the internet. It's basically just like MSN chat, except you can make phone calls from person to person. The way it works is that it handles it like just like a P2P network. Wasn't that your article you did a few weeks ago?
I think so.
Okay, we tried it out. Pretty clear, no complaints, no lag, didn't break up.
Hard to record it.
We're working on doing the show in Skype within the next few weeks. So look out for that. But until then, check it out. It's free. The only thing you cannot do with it yet is call to an actual phone. You can call to it. They have a service called Skype Out, O-U-T, which you have to pay for. I didn't look into the plans or anything, but I know it's a paid service. So we didn't do that.
It's as low as 2 cents a minute.
2 cents a minute?
2 cents a minute is pretty low.
That's more than I got.
Well.
Okay, I got my first one right here. IBM will not attack Linux. It's Big Blue has pledged that it will not sue Linux users for nicking its code, unless it has to do so in its own defense. Did you read anything about this?
I did actually read something about that, and I had an article that's down the bottom of the list about this.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and go with it. Apparently preferring cooperation over confrontation, IBM will not use its considerable portfolio of patents against Linux, a company executive said at the Linux World Conference. The announcement comes as concerns are being raised of the potential patent infringement by the Linux kernel. In a speech at a gathering, IBM Senior Vice President for Technology and Manufacturing, Nick DeFrino, said that Big Blue will refrain from taking action against Linux in the interest of promoting innovation, unless it has to defend itself. I don't see that happening. IBM has played pretty fair, I think, over the years. I think they've let other people stump on them, but but they've been fair, and I think they're the biggest supporters of Linux as of today. As of a big corporation.
Now, why does IBM have all these patents of such in their portfolio?
You know what? I have no clue, Droops.
I'll tell you why, buddy.
Why is that?
I actually this is what I did a little thought, thinking about it, and then I've done some learning in school about this. And let's say you're Microsoft or you're IBM, and both of these companies, as most companies do, have these portfolios of these patents. Now, they're not for anything. IBM can patent something and never, ever use that patent, and that's cool. But if they start, a new upstart comes along, like the Drupal sophisticated computer networking company, and we're doing something that IBM has a patent for, and we're starting to bother IBM, they can use their patent to effectively shut us down. Now, if we're not going to waste their time, their lawyer's time, their money, you know, giving us a shit about these patents. But Microsoft has a whole repertoire of these. IBM has them, Cisco has them, and they can use them just to protect their business.
Right.
And there's actually people that work for the company that just do this all day long, patent these little silly things just to build up this portfolio. And that means an older, more established company that's been making these patents for 20 years has a lot more clout, not just money, but just power over a small upstart company that hasn't had time to build up a portfolio.
Just like Microsoft does, IBM does. A lot of people do this.
Yes. I mean, it's a common business practice. But that's why they have them. And they wouldn't use them against Linux because Linux is making money for them. But if need be, they have that to hold over Linux or to hold over anybody, I'm sure. There's a lot of things that are infringing on that copyright, and they don't even know about it. Or that patent, excuse me. Anyway, you want to keep talking or you want me to go on to the next one?
Next article. We're done with that one.
Okay. Well, I was reading an article about advertisers. The medium for advertising is text messaging. That's right, folks. Spam on the cell phone. Now, I've never actually gotten spam on the cell phone other than something that was from my cell phone provider. And actually, I get more calls from Singular saying to call back at this number for an important announcement or something. And I don't know why they don't just call me and announce it. I don't ever call it. I don't actually know what it's about.
I've never gotten that on Verizon and never have had a problem with that.
But what they're trying to do right now is what they try to do with Internet advertising is to have opt-in, where if you install RealPlayer, let's say, and you scroll down that little scroll bar that uncovers the things that are checked that most people would never see, that signs them up for all kinds of crap, that's opt-in. Well, they're having opt-in for the cell phones. They're trying not to be as intrusive about it so that people are happy to be getting these text messages. And when they get one, they think it's something to help them, not something that's just crap coming to them. And you can actually sign up for social networks that you can ask your phone, where's a good place to go get a martini around here? And Absolute Vodka can sponsor an ad to be sent directly to you and say, oh, it's a good place to go get a Absolute Vodka martini right over here, you know, sent by Absolute Vodka. So you get that in your head while you're thinking about getting your martini. And there's 160 million cell phone users and in the United States. And the problem with this whole marketing thing to these people is only a tiny percentage of these users are receptive to this marketing. There was a survey of over 5,000 people in the U.S. cell phone market over the age of 18, and they found that only 20% of these people had actually received a text ad via their cell phone. And of that group, 9% said the ad bothered them, while another 9% they just deleted it. So that's only 2% saying that they actually received a text message that was relevant to them. And that's not really much for a marketing plan. If you're going to be irritating most of the people, it's really not that good. But spam seems to work, or else it wouldn't be here. And all these pop-under ads seem to work, or else they wouldn't be here either.
Oh,
so I'm really happy we're a little smarter with our phones, so I don't keep getting text messages.
It's just getting started, though. It's a fairly new practice. It's a fairly new practice, and I think once they can latch on to something that works, they're going to go with it. So we're just expect that to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. And we'll be here 10 years from now complaining about it.
And hopefully I can turn text messaging off on my computer. But again, the way to solve this is to only have certain hosts or certain phones allowed to send you a text message. Like, you're obviously going to want one from your girlfriend or your fiancé or whatever, but I probably don't want one from Absolute Vodka. All right? That's what I got on that.
What if your girlfriend works for Absolute Vodka?
That's cool.
Okay, our next article. This is coming from the great state of Louisiana. Remember that? Check this out. You'll love this one. According to a story in yesterday's New Orleans paper, the Louisiana Radio and Television Technicians Board has sent letters to computer techs demanding fees to license them as radio and TV repairmen. Apparently, as computers drive more home theater applications, the board is trying to classify them as playback and recording device equipment, which the law gives the board power to regulate. It looks like more like a money grab, though, since no test is required. Just $55 and an affidavit. It just seemed, isn't this great? Basically, the TV and the radio repair technicians of Louisiana are losing money. So you're trying to, like, you know, declare the computer as a radio and a television device.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's a load of shit. Because TV repair used to be a big deal. Because you used to have a lot of specialized tools, things like that. TVs are throwaways now. Your TV breaks, you throw it away, unless it's like a fancy plasma. You know, that's a $5,000 TV. If it's $100, you throw that bitch away. Just like if your computer monitor breaks, no one's going to crack that bitch open and try to fix it. They're just going to get another fucking monitor. Most people don't open a piece, like a hard drive, up to fix it. They just replace the hard drive. A car mechanic does the same damn thing as a TV guy does now, or like a computer guy does now, just with different parts. Just swap out and test it, swap out.
Right. Number one, it's too dangerous just to open up your monitor and fuck with it.
Oh, yeah.
Just like your TV. You got capacitors in there, blow your nuts off. It's basically just somebody trying to make some money. They're not making any money. You know, they see this new thing, you know, computers, the new thing out today. And they're just trying to, they're basically late in the game. If they would have done this 20 years ago, they could have got their foot in.
Yeah.
And declared it as a television or radio device, the computer. But now, people know better. They're not going to go for that. And especially computer techs are just mostly just guys like me and Droops going around fixing people's computers.
Yeah.
So now we're going to have to pay a fee to do that?
Are the television guys going to have to be like A-plus certified or anything like that?
Oh, no, they're not going to require that. The regular guys now.
Okay.
They're just going to require, you know, they're not going to require anything. They just have, you know, if you work on computers, you have to pay them money each year.
Now, State of Louisiana is known for their grandfather clauses. Is there a grandfather clause in this?
No, this is just an association. This has nothing to do with the government.
Okay, I'm sorry.
This is just this is basically some, you know, union type of deal.
Well, that's pretty fucking silly.
It's pretty silly, but I had to read it because it was just so fucked up.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What's next here? Okay, I got one that's actually pretty good. Prohibition. That was when they said we couldn't have liquor. And I say we as the American people. Hopefully no one listening to this show actually was alive during Prohibition.
Do you remember that, when we couldn't drink liquor?
It's called before I was 18. anyway, back to my little Prohibition story. I kind of lost my train of thought. And what happened with this whole Prohibition thing is they were bootleggers. The people that own the hardware store in downtown New Albany, where I live, are right off the train tracks. And you think, maybe the train's there because they were delivering wood to the, you know, hardware store, the lumber yard. No. The train was there because the hardware store was there because the passenger station was right next to it. And the people would get off the train in New Albany, and they'd go into the hardware store, and they'd say a passphrase, and they would get bootleg whiskey from the hardware store. And then they'd get back on the train, and they'd continue on drinking their liquor. It was very easy to circumvent all these prohibition laws. And right now, there's a prohibition against online gambling in the United States. And it's really, really easy to set up an online gambling site in, say, England, or, say, Cuba, or, say, any other country. And people from the United States can obviously get to it. It's really hard to stop people from the U.S. getting to an overseas website. And there's a lot of American money that's going to other countries. And the government sees that they're losing money, and they're working on making it legal to gamble online.
When they can find a way to tax it, that's when it will become legal.
Yeah. Last year, online gaming totaled $5.7 billion, and the majority of these gamblers were American. That's a lot. BettonSports.com, or BetOnSports.com, says 98% of its customers are U.S.-based, and that made $26.8 million for the year ending January 31st. So they're trying to push that so the government can make a little bit more money, because obviously it's not stopping us, and it's going to cost them money to try to stop us, so they might as well just tax us, which is really kind of silly.
Have you ever done this?
I've never actually online gamed. I was actually drinking with a friend of mine in Oxford one night, and we came across a friend that hadn't gotten seen in a while, and the guy had dropped out of school and become an online poker player. And it wasn't one that was like a casino kind of setting where there was a dealer. The computer was the dealer, and all the players were real people. And, four or five of them would know each other and be instant messaging each other what they had and how to screw off the new guy. And so pretty much they just scammed the new guy, and then they split the money. And this is what this guy was doing for a living. So I wouldn't really trust online gaming as much as I would trust it in the casino.
Yeah, it's barely, because number one, you have a computer dealing with the odds. That's if you're playing one-on-one. Like, seriously, who would how can you beat a computer? That's what you got to ask yourself before you got to play these games. And then if you're playing more than one person, you're like four humans, you got to deal with, somebody find a way to scam out. It's too shady, especially since most of these companies are overseas. There's no laws regulating them just from jacking your fucking money.
Yeah.
They jack your money, you're broke.
This is true. This is very true. I don't know. Maybe there's some states around that don't have gaming. Like, Mississippi and Louisiana are corrupt as hell, and there's lots of casinos around here. It's just like there's a casino probably 10 miles from your house.
Yeah, we used to have a lot of, what do you call those?
Video poker.
Yeah, video poker. No, I've never played one, so I'm not sure. They're being banned in a lot of places, I noticed. Supposedly it was supposed to be raising money for schools.
Yeah, but that didn't actually work out.
That didn't actually work out, so they're like, the people were like, fuck it, we want them out of here then. So they got rid of them.
All right, your turn, Slick.
Okay, this is pretty interesting. A type of wallpaper, stealth wallpaper keeps companies' secrets safe. A type of wallpaper that prevents Wi-Fi signals escaping from a building without blocking mobile phone signals has been developed by a British defense contractor. The technology is designed to stop outsiders gaining access to a secure network by using Wi-Fi networks casually set up by workers at the office. It is the work of moments for an employee to connect a paperback-sized Wi-Fi base station to a company network. That person can then wander around the office. This is just plain Wi-Fi. We all know that. It's pretty fucking cool. It's this new wallpaper you set up, paste in the wall, and it keeps the Wi-Fi signals from getting out.
That's really cool. Does it, would a window affect this, or is it so much of a mesh that it'll cover over a window also?
It doesn't actually explain that. It just says, it doesn't go into too much detail than that.
Okay.
But it's pretty interesting. I'll get the article for next week. This was just a headline.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. I found it right as we're talking. Ofcom engineers have confirmed to New Scientist that the wallpaper can block Wi-Fi at 2.4, 5, and 6 gigahertz, while letting through GSM and 3 gig cell phone signals, plus emergency service calls. Better still, the filtering can be switched on or off if the diodes are connected between the copper crosses. When a current is fed through the diodes, all frequencies are blocked. Switching them off opens the panel to let mobile and emergency signals through. The wall covering can be mass-produced at a low cost. A square meter will cost 500 pounds. I'm not sure what that is.
think 500 pounds is over $500. And the pound, I ate it like $2. I'm not sure. I don't look at the exchange rates.
I'm not sure what the exchange rate is either.
We're just fake. That much.
Yeah, it might be worth it, or you just secure your shit.
Or maybe these people are going to make a lot of fucking money selling wallpaper with tinfoil on the other side of it.
Yep, that's what it is.
I wish we'd have thought of this.
We didn't
quit building iPods and just straight up make wallpaper with foil on it.
How would you call that, a stupid human trick?
Yeah.
That is pretty fucking gay, if I say so myself.
I wonder if you can grow weed really well in there, because it just keeps it hotter.
Wallpaper, man. I'm going to give me some of that shit.
Yeah. Well, I'm poor. We already have the windows covered up with tinfoil.
Okay, man, you're next.
Okay. Unisys is a company. They make high-end servers. They make a lot of servers, but they're the market leader in sales of servers that cost more than $50,000 a piece. Of course, these are Windows servers that are costing $50,000 for one computer. Whatever. The server. Anyway, they're starting to offer Linux software on their server line. And a move that shows the growing interest using the Linux operating system in big data centers. Mainframe maker Unisys Corporation is expected to announce today it will offer Linux as well as Microsoft Core's Windows on its powerful ES7000 server. Now, Unisys, oddly enough, of Blue Hill, Pennsylvania, and it's one of the earliest and most loyal advocates of using Windows and central servers that power back-office operation. Now, that market is a key objective for Microsoft as it tries to expand beyond the desktop, personal computers, and low-end servers. Joe McGrath, the president of and chief operating officer of Unisys, said it's been a tough decision for us to add Linux. We didn't want to endanger our relationship with Microsoft. Wait. Microsoft's scared of a little competition? Is that how that goes?
Well, if they can't buy them out, then they just get pissed off and start shooting at them.
Yeah, pretty much. But our customers, especially in government agencies and financial firms, two of Unisys' biggest markets, have been saying they aren't interested in the 7000 unless it's provided with Linux. Now, Jeff Price is a director in Microsoft's Windows Server Group. Said Windows is growing strongly in all servers, and it views Unisys' decision as being about moving off proprietary Unix to either Linux or Windows. He noted that customers can simultaneously run Windows and Linux on the Unisys systems and predicted that many Linux users will eventually shift to Windows.
You think?
Well, I mean, if I have an ice cream company and you have an ice cream company, I'm going to say mine's better than yours, even if it's not. I can pick up this shit, don't I?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, now, granted, the Microsoft guy is right. People that are moving from Linux, or moving from Unix and moving to a different platform, now have the choice of Linux or Microsoft. And if you're moving to a E7000, you know, theoretically could be moving from a Microsoft solution, or you could be moving from Unix. So he's kind of right about that, but it's nice to have a choice and, you know, a big mainframe like that, what it's running. All right, buddy, go ahead.
Fuck them anyway. Okay. I had some names for the Cunt of the Week award, but I decided to give it to this guy because he's a very special person. Yahoo News has a story concerning one Stephen Galton. Remember that name, Stephen Galton, last name is G-A-L-T-O-N. Okay, Stephen Galton, who has filed a class action lawsuit against Yahoo, claiming the company unfairly protected people who posted negative messages on its bulletin boards and falsely advertised that it prevents such abusive messages. It seems he was subjected to name-calling when he signed under the username Stephen Galton, in order to respond to a negative post about an unidentified client. As other users chimed in with negative remarks, Galton filed suits against them and sought their personal information from Yahoo via a subpoena. The lawsuit seeks retribution, a permanent injunction, and other forms of relief.
Hello?
What's really interesting is all the message board posts relating to the story have been deleted. Okay, some people flamed his ass, and he's getting all pissed off. He's going to sue now.
That's ridiculous.
Of all the ridiculous things I could think of on the top of my head, I would never thought that would happen. Some punk gets upset and starts suing. They make fun of me on the Yahoo boards, mommy.
One, I should make fun of the guy for being on the Yahoo boards.
You're breaking up, man.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
One, I should make fun of the guy for being on the Yahoo boards. But actually, just as a side note, I had a guy come in the store the other day and asked what internet service providers we had. And so we've got AOL, we've got Earthlink. And he said that he doesn't like Earthlink because it won't let him chat. And I said, were you trying to chat with the AOL people? And he said, no, I was trying to get on Yahoo, and Earthlink won't let me on it. And I was thinking, you are an idiot.
Did you tell him that?
No. So maybe the Stephen Galton's a little smarter than this guy, but he's not very high up on the evolutionary chain.
Someone made fun of you on a message board.
We're making fun of you now, buddy. Don't sue us.
Yeah, no. I'm calling you a fucking asshole, Stephen Galton. with the handle of Stephen Galton.
He's creative.
He is one creative son of a bitch.
Oh, Lord.
So that's my cunt of the week. I am calling you a cunt, Stephen Galton. And I'll probably get sued. You know what?
Yeah, the show won't be available.
What's he going to sue me? I have nothing. He's got to take my, my David Lynch collection off my hands. I'll shoot a BB in your ass.
That's right.
I'll pop a BB in your ass, biatch. Okay, man.
All right. Are we moving on?
Yeah, Stephen Galton gave me a hernia.
Well, you should sue him.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it.
Disney. They make things that people perceive as friendly for children. And they make a children's TV with a DVD player and a VCR, and it all looks like Mickey Mouse. Well, now they have the Mickey Mouse computer. That's right, a computer for children ages 6 through 12. And it's got parental controls installed on it. It looks like Mickey Mouse. The ears are speakers. It supposedly has a screen that you can write on with the pen. But the Wall Street Journal article didn't say that. I read that somewhere else. And it's for children to learn how to use a computer. It's got a DVD drive. It's got a CD burner. It's a pretty cool little computer. I have the specs written right here. But I'm standing outside smoking, and it's hard to read under the spotlight. It's selling for $600, and the monitor is selling for $300. It's a...
That's not bad.
2.6. It's a 2.6 cell on D. It's got a 40-gig hard drive, and it's got Windows XP on it.
That's not bad.
That's not bad. That's really not bad. Now, granted, if your kid, not that you have a kid, I don't know if you have a kid or not.
I apologize if you do.
And he wanted a computer, you could hook him up. But a lot of people are scared to let their kid on the Internet because there's a lot of nasty things.
Who won't make your mouth protect you?
Like that tub lady.
Oh, the tub lady.
And I wouldn't want my 6-year-old seeing that.
I would.
Well, I'd want yours to see it too, buddy. But this is a good thing. If Disney can actually pull this off. Granted, the little 6-year-old kid's probably not going to be trying to break, how to get out to the real Internet. But people need to make sure the computer's maintained. They need to make sure they install their updates. You know, things a lot of people don't do. These kids are still going to see bad things. The parents need to be, involved when the kid's using the computer. I think it's a really good idea, but it's going to take a responsible parent to continue it with a good idea.
But Mickey Mouse will protect them. What do you think?
If your kid has one of these and he never asks you where babies come from, you know why.
Hey, listen, Mickey Mouse taught me how to brush my teeth. That's why I only have 4 left.
Hey, that's good for Baton Rouge, isn't it?
I'm above par.
All right, buddy, your turn.
Okay, A group of 46 state attorney generals sent a deeply critical letter to file-sharing companies Thursday, asking them to take stronger action on privacy and intellectual property violations. The letter follows some discussion between the state's top law enforcers and the companies themselves. The companies requested a dialogue after a draft letter was sent was leaked last spring. The letter was similarly critical of file-sharing firms. Thursday's letter asked makers of file-sharing software to take meaningful steps to prevent this discrimination of child pornography. Dissemination, not discrimination, I'm sorry. A child pornography, invasion of privacy, and copyright infringement. The group stopped short of citing specific legal action that states might take against companies, but said they could target individuals using virus shopping networks for fraudulent purposes. Now we're getting the state attorney generals on this. Like I said on the last show, this is going to come. The whole P2P thing is coming to a quick end.
Yeah.
Yeah. So get back on MRC when you get not MRC, but IRC whenever you get a chance, because your P2P, they're watching.
That they are. I actually read an article about someone that got a letter from their internet service provider. I don't know where I read this at. It's probably on the Internet forums. Everyone's read it. And he got a letter saying that he had some files shared on his computer, and granted he was sharing files off his computer, but he didn't actually have that one. And this stuff that they're, you know, coming out with legal action isn't 100% foolproof, and I don't know how they can really prove that something was on your computer if there's error at all.
That's the thing. They don't expect you to complain about it. You're just paying. You gotta understand, most of these people are just scared as shitless. So they're gonna pay the money that they say. They're not expecting lawsuits. They're not expecting. I don't know if any one of these went to court yet.
And I haven't heard that one's been to court yet.
What's that?
I have not heard that one has been to court yet.
Because I think if it actually went to court and they couldn't prove the actual files in their computer, say it was like, I download this show. Okay? Except it was named, you know, Britney Spears or something.
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to do? The file was just named that. It's actually Infonomicon.
Yeah. And how are they going to prove? I mean, it's, if you get sued, don't go to court over it. Or do go to court over it, excuse me. Don't pay them out of your pocket.
I'll just tell them that. Just tell them you're taking them to fucking court and you got proof this wasn't the file. Now they think it was.
Excellent.
That's our legal tip for the day.
Yeah, because we're lawyers here.
Yes, right. I went to Tulane University for 10 years.
Did you ever finish college?
Yes, I did.
Excellent.
Not as a lawyer, though.
Not as a lawyer. Well, anyway, Red Hat. Everybody loves Red Hat. Their little fedora everyone uses.
I don't.
Red Hat, well, screw you. You should like Red Hat. so they get rid of them fucking RPMs. It'll be a lot better because I hate RPMs. Anyway, Red Hat is jumping into a new market. They're offering application server product, which is a niche that's served by IBM. And you say, why would Red Hat go against IBM? IBM isn't in it for the small business as much as they claim to be. They make their big money off of
hardware
and service contracts to large corporations. And if your little small company wants a nice server and they want some application server product, now they have an option of going with Red Hat. And according to Mr. Skulznick, what's his name, Matthew Skulznick, the guy in charge of, he says Oracle, BEA, IBM, and others actually helped them refine the software so it'll work with theirs. And it's aimed at the low-end applications and starts as low as $85 per computer per month compared to high-end application server software that can cost $75,000 to $100,000 a month. That's obviously a different class right there. Now, Red Hat has 69% of the worldwide Linux server market as of 2002, and they're also the largest provider of Linux. And in the article, it says that growth has come as Linux, a so-called open source software developed by a community of programmers, has become an increasingly important piece of companies' computing infrastructure. It's a so-called open source software. I think it's pretty much an open source software, huh?
Yes, it is.
Anyway, somebody doesn't really know what you're talking about, but maybe I don't either.
Welcome to the news business, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Oracle's database software contains more than 30 security holes, according to an expert with UK-based firm Next Generation Security Software. The findings suggest that a great portion of enterprise data is at some risk because Oracle applications are in such widespread use. The brouhaha began when David Lynchfield, founder of Next Generation Security Software, discovered his comments about Oracle's vulnerabilities at the Black Hat security briefings held last weekend in Las Vegas, Nevada. Originally, Lynchfield's talk was to be based on a discussion of 34 vulnerabilities he had discovered in January and February of this year, but he could not offer the presentation. The patches, this is a quote from him, the patches weren't available, he told NewsFactor, so I couldn't go into detail about the holes. All I could speak about was the fact that they were waiting on Oracle's release to release the patches. The Wall Street Journal issued a story that sent from Scotland to, I'm trying to read through this article. Basically, Oracle's just sitting on their ass on all these patches, and all these vulnerabilities that are not going to, they're just basically saying, oh, we don't have a problem. They're doing the Microsoft thing.
All right.
You have nothing to say about that. Oracle.
Go ahead and talk, buddy.
I'm done.
I have nothing to say.
Really? You never.
I wouldn't even pay attention to you. I didn't know what you said.
Oracle, the company?
What about them?
They have all these vulnerabilities they're not releasing patches for. They're just sitting on them.
Well, that's what they do.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you ever used Oracle?
I have not used Oracle. Actually, I sent away for some free Oracle stuff, but I haven't gotten it.
So you stop, you don't want to use them anymore because you don't get your free shit?
Yeah, pretty much. If I don't get free shit, I'm not using your stuff.
I'm with you. Fuck Oracle. Next.
All right. Fuck Oracle. I'm sorry, that's bad radio, but I really wasn't listening. Okay, I'm going to move on to mine, and you better listen to my article.
Okay, can I take a nap?
Yes.
Okay.
You can take a nap. Go get some tea and a piece of bread, whatever you like to eat. Anyway, there's an article about the fastest-growing website that people logged on to last week. It was an online... animation company, and it features political satire, according to the Nielsen/Net ratings. Owners of the site JibJab.com attribute that jump in their hit to this land, with cartoons of President George Bush and Democratic presidential nominee John Kerry singing the old Woody Guthrie tune. And they say, we always try to do some political humor because it's an event that everybody's into. Now, Greg Spindarellis and his brother Evan started JibJab.com in 1999, and they said it was juvenile actions between the two candidates. They were up for some satire, and they also said that they'd like to thank Obfuscated and Troops for bringing it up on their radio show. They attribute most of their boost to us pimping it on the show.
You know what? And that makes me feel very warm in my heart.
Yeah, at least somebody's listening to the show, you know.
Yes, how much of a jump did it have, did it say?
They're number one in new viewers, so that's pretty good.
We'd like to thank all the listeners for going to the site, or just that one guy kept hitting the refresh button.
Yeah. Well, I know I saw it a whole bunch of times. I thought it was hilarious. It was really, really well done.
Okay. Getting off on the serious thing for a minute, I told you last week I've been doing a lot of job interviews. I've had like 10 in the last 2 weeks. And if you ever, have you been on a job interview lately?
Not lately, but I have been on some.
Okay, we're going to talk about that a little bit. I know it's off topic, but, you know, you got to know what you're going into. You're basically going into Lion's Den.
Yeah.
When you go in there. You know, there's a set thing that they ask you, and they want exact answers. So, you want to start it off, or?
Go ahead, buddy.
Okay. What I hate most in life is dumb questions. And you will get those when you go in there. They're going to be ask you questions that, you know, you're going to be like, huh? So you have to be ready for them. Have questions, mm-hmm. just spit them out at them. Like, questions like, what salary are you seeking? How much do you want to make? Now, if I were to ask you that in a job interview, what would you say?
I wouldn't have a good answer for that. Because I don't know how much they're willing to pay, and I don't want to say too much because they'll say this guy's just wanting a lot of money, and I don't want to say too little because then they'll think that they can pay me just a little bit of money.
That's right, because you got to realize this. In most companies, talking about salaries is totally prohibitive. I've seen people fired over it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go in there and they say, how much would you like to make? You say, $6 an hour. Your ass is going to be making $6 an hour if you're hired.
Yeah.
You have to know how much you're worth. Market value. We're all worth the market value. You have to know how much you're worth before you walk in there. So, you know, you have to come up with some figure in your head, like $20,000, $30,000. Just know how much you're worth.
Mm-hmm.
Questions like, what makes you more qualified than the next person that comes in here? Yeah, what do you say to that? You know, I have a bigger cock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I always say.
Yeah, that's what I say.
I usually don't just show it. I just show it to him.
This is why, plump.
I'm just like, here. But see, again, you don't want to have too big of a cock, because if yours is bigger than the interviewer, they're not going to hire you, because they don't want a bigger cock around.
No, but how would you answer that question?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't want to talk bad on anyone else. And I would definitely mention what I was not so hot in. Like, I'm not that good at Java programming. And I would say, well, you know, I'm good at this. I can build this. I can do this. Now, my Java programming needs a little work, but I've been working on it. And say that you're improving, even if you're not really good at stuff. Mention it and tell them the truth. Don't say, oh, I can do this. I can do this. And you can't. Always tell them the truth, and if you say some things that you're not good at, they're going to think that, hey, this guy's not just filling us full of bullshit. You know, he'll admit that he's wrong and he's weak in an area,
right?
But he will also say that he's willing to improve.
Yeah, and that's a very important part of job interviews. Every one of your answers has to leave on a positive note.
Yes.
Don't be like, oh, I can't do Java.
Yeah.
No. Say, I've been learning Java. You know, even if you don't know, if you know like C or C++, you obviously know a little bit about Java, even if you never touched it. So say you know, if you think you know, just don't lie. It's okay to stretch the truth, but don't leave it on a negative note. Just don't say, no, I don't know how to do that.
Don't stretch the truth too much.
Right. Well, another
I was doing a little research on this, and a woman applied for a job that was usually making out $100,000 a year as a middle manager. And the way she told the story to everyone, well, it sounded like she graduated college, this, that, and the other, when the reality was she was still in college.
Hmm.
And it was obviously in her resume that she hadn't graduated, but she never mentioned that fact in the interview. Obviously, she knew that if she said, hey, I'm in college right now, you know, they're going to take that as a strike against her. But she could have brought that into a positive note and said, you know, I can do this job, this, that, and the other. I'm also in college right now, and I'm responsible enough to hold down, you know, do my college and hold down this job that I'm qualified to do. And then they would say, this person is a very motivated person who's about to get out of college and work for us and do well for our company.
Right.
Instead of, this girl's a liar.
Right. Also realize, don't lie on your resume.
Yeah.
Please don't do that, because they could fire you for that.
Yes. It's 20 years down the road, they can fire you for that.
You're working there 40 years. They realize you lied on your resume, and they don't like you, you're out of there. Another question is, why do you want to work here, or why are you leaving your current job? Those are, you know, kind of questions they'll ask.
Mm-hmm.
What's
a good reason for leaving your current job?
Yeah. And never say, my boss is an asshole.
Say that.
Yeah. He makes me work too much. You know, make it like I said before, make it all on a positive note. Say, I'm looking for more learning opportunities. Don't bring in money. Don't say, I'm looking for more cash. Just focus on what you did in your previous job and say, I'm looking for better opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, learning.
I'm looking to expand myself. I don't want to be doing the same thing there. I think that I've done that, and I've done it well, and I'm ready to move on with my life.
Another good question is, don't say, a lot.
Yeah.
They hate that. They really fucking hate that. Another question is they like to ask is, it's on the tip of my tongue. Oh, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that question. Because they don't want to know anything about you.
Mm-mm.
They don't want to hear, I got a dog named Tipsy, 20 years old, who's got cataracts. They don't want to hear that shit. Tell them the only professional shit.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them about yourself. If you're a programmer, tell them about your years of experience in, C++, Java, whatever you do.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them about it. Also, at the end of a conversation like that, always end up that you want to learn more. Never seem like you're satisfied where you're at.
Yeah.
In your knowledge. Anything else you want to add, or?
I was on a job interview, and they asked me, they asked me what I do in my spare time, like when I'm not, working or thinking about work.
Yeah.
And I'd actually come up with a pretty good little answer for it. And I have two things that I mainly do when I'm not working.
Masturbate.
Other than just sitting on my computer masturbating. I'm remodeling my house, and that patience and dedication right there. And I geocache. And they, of course, don't know what that is. And you tell them, and they think that you're kind of an interesting person. You're getting out, you're exercising, you're using your mind, and you're having fun doing it. And it's not like I sit at my house and I crochet. They're going to be like, oh, you're a boring motherfucker. And 50% of office work is getting along with your coworkers. You can be the most awesome person at just doing your work, but if you don't have people skills to talk to people, they're not going to like you. And you're not going to do as well, and you're not going to be happy at your job. So it's good to have them like you in the interview, just think you're interesting, other than all the work stuff.
Okay, this is the last question. This is the one I hate the most out of everything. They usually say this after a long silence. And here's the silence. Why should we hire you?
Mm-hmm. Then you go back and you explain your strong points.
That's
you just hit
right.
on them again. You say, I do this. I have a willingness to learn. I'm trying to better myself.
And I got a big cock.
And a big cock. You show it to them again. And if they have a camera, they might want to take a picture. They might not.
Hey, Bob, get the camera. Yeah, see the balls on this kid. You're going to upper management, boy.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Now, granted, this information that we're telling you is from a guy that delivers pizza and a guy that works at Circuit City. So, don't take it too much to heart, but just think about what we're saying.
Okay, you want to...
Did you like that shot?
I do appreciate that. The thing about it is that sometimes we choose money over professional status.
Mm-hmm.
I make more money than most people I do and wear suits.
Mm-hmm. I don't. I just can't find a better job. But whatever.
Okay, man. Want to go? You got some more news?
Oh, yes. I actually have an article that contains the quote of the week.
Okay, you go
ahead. Try again if you can spot it. The National Democratic Convention in Boston features former president, senators, would-be president, and a Bell South Corporation beer stand. Now, this beer stand is located in the I drank some Kool-Aid, now I'm tongue-tied. It's located in the Press Pavilion and named the Bell South Media Hospitality Lounge. The space offers free beers as well as clam chowder, bananas, chicken tenders to reporters covering the political event. The logic, free beer is goodwill for Bell South, says Bill McCloskey, a Bell South spokesman who's gone through five convention cycles running the free beer operation. The initiative started after World War II, when the Association of America Railroaders pulled train cars into Philadelphia for a political convention, offering drinks and refreshments to the media. The railroads stopped doing it in 1984 with the 1988 conventions. Bell South has filled the vacuum and hasn't stopped since. The lounge isn't only about beer. Singular, the wireless arm of Bell South and SBC Communication Incorporated, hands out free replacement batteries for cell phones. And you might be just thinking, well, Bell South's just helping the Democrats. But no, they're also going to do this at the Republican National Convention. And the quote of the week is, free beer is goodwill for Bell South. I wish Bell South would send me some fucking free beer.
I would wear, if they send me free beer, I wonder what kind of beer it is.
It didn't say.
Dixie?
I'm sure it's a good beer.
You don't think it's Dixie beer?
I don't think it's Dixie beer, because Dixie beer is piss.
Jackson Brewery, baby, huh?
Actually, there was a running joke about 30, 40 years ago that Jack's beer, J-A-X, which was made at the Jackson Brewery in New Orleans, was the only beer company in the nation that put its production factory, on the label. And the joke was, it was a picture of Andrew Jackson riding a horse. And the beer tasted like horse piss.
Oh, man. Okay, next article. Sun is developing a new technology that promises to increase computer power by eliminating the need for physical solder chip-to-chip connections on the motherboard, called proximity communications. It portends the ability for chips to talk to one another wirelessly, just by being next to each other. Potential applications of computer designed around. Apparently, this is part of the Sun's Hero program, recipient of a $50 million grant from DARPA. DARPA's High Productivity Computer Systems Program, to rejuvenate supercomputing in the U.S. and regain the lead lost to Japan, in particular to NEC's Earth Simulator, ranked as the most powerful supercomputer in the world.
Okay.
So what do you think about that? Motherboards, no more.
Well, it's going to be different. They obviously have some work to do on this old proximity chip thing. But, I mean, computing one day is going to be not one device of your computer. You're going to have several components that you put them near each other, and it's going to work, and they're going to talk to each other.
Right. They're also working on something right now where computers are going to be organic.
Mm-hmm.
Where your actual processor is going to have living organisms in it.
There's not a little man inside of it now?
I thought it was a mouse.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay, man, you're next.
Okay. Help wanted. Some computer users call help desks a lot. According to a new survey commissioned by Siemens Business Services, 20% of white-collar workers spend more than an hour a week talking to corporate help desks about computer problems. Additional 36% spend 30 minutes. Okay. They shouldn't be calling. They should educate their fucking users, and it would save them time and money in the long run. An hour of a white-collar worker who's making maybe $20 an hour on average, I don't know, probably a lot more than that, should not be spending that whole hour trying to work on a computer thing over the phone. That's kind of ridiculous to me.
Get back, get your coffee.
Yeah. But then it goes on to say that more than one quarter of those surveyed admitted that some of their time with corporate help desks involved their own electronic devices. And, of course, there's a blurring. If you have to get your email while you're at your home and you're using your home computer, then technically it's for work and that you should be able to call the help desk and ask questions. Excuse me about it. But that's a lot of time, it seems to me, that someone's going to be calling the help desk and asking questions every week. Somebody's not being trained right, and somebody's not running their network properly.
It's called work.
Yeah. Like, computers are there for work. They're not to make work. They're a tool. Well, they may work for us, but not make work for people that are supposed to be using them like that.
True.
All right. Go ahead, Slick.
Microsoft's Windows XP Slick. Microsoft's Windows XP Service Pack 2 is looking increasingly cursed after the release date appears to have been slipped again, if only by a few days. The software giant has set itself an internal deadline of releasing the new service pack designed to significantly improve the operating system security to manufacturers on the 4th of August. But the company said that it decided to hold off because it wanted to make final improvements to the code. Paul Randall, product marketing manager for the release, said, "The Wednesday schedule was an internal deadline for release to manufacturers, and we were not happy enough with the product to release it that day. Our internal deadline got communicated by the Australian office and was withdrawn almost immediately." Randall insisted that this would not cause a delay to the release to customers later this month. All I can say on the final release date is soon, as he said. We will still be on track for the August release as before, he explained. Randall said that the code was undergoing polishing up and tidying rough edges and passed due to customer feedback. So she had fucking up again.
Well, I'm glad they delayed it instead of just sending out a bad product.
That's still going to be shitty, you know, when it comes out.
Yeah. I'm sure there's going to be a whole shitload of problems about this thing.
They'll find 15 different codes. What do they have, like five guys working in the back? You think it's like just like a little shop in the back of Microsoft headquarters, like this shed that keep their code monkeys back there?
I think there's a lot of people working on this. It's just, if Apple releases a service pack, you know, it's only going on a few computers, you know, types of computers. The whole Microsoft thing, there's a lot of stuff that they've got to test to make sure it works properly. And, I mean, there could be like a problem talking to a Netgear router with your Microsoft Windows, and it's only a specific one, and they need to test this and make sure it works. So I think they're doing a lot of testing and fixing, and I think they're trying hard, but I don't know where they came up with these dates of when they're going to release this thing. They need to set it like 4 months past when they think is the latest they'll ever get it done.
Like normal businesses do, right?
Like what?
Like what normal businesses do.
Yeah. And then when it comes out early, it's, wow, it's out early, instead of we're going to push it back again and again and again and again. And all they're doing with this pushing the date back is giving themselves bad press.
What's new?
But bad press doesn't seem to bother them.
Well, of course not. It's never affected them.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. We've all been to stores and we've all seen these really cool toys that the kids play with now that we didn't have.
Like 9mm?
No. Like electronic games that we didn't have. Like I had a Tommy Tudor Play computer and I thought that the thing was fucking badass. And I had, I forget, it was this little blue thing with the screen that folded down. Like the bottom of it folded down, it was a little keyboard and we had these little cards that were discs. And I figured out when they put the card in, it pushed a little hole in the computer, and I used to play around with it and try to run them without the cards. Like, I'm a little kid and trying to get this thing to work without the way it's designed in a, you know, early form when I was a little guy. But these things are really, really educational, really, really cool. Leapfrog is a company that makes motorcycles.
They've been doing that for a long time.
And they've actually, yeah, and they found a use for these things. People in Afghanistan aren't educated. By the most part, like 80% of the women over there can't read. And they've taken these little Leapfrog computers over there, configured them for their local languages, and are teaching people how to read with these things, like grown-up people. And this is amazing to me, considering last year they couldn't have computers over there. And now they have specialized computers teaching the people how to read.
And this is a U.S. company, right?
Yeah.
I thought we'd never do anything good for them.
Yeah, I guess we don't do anything good for them, but this is something we are doing good for them.
That's pretty cool.
Like, there's differences between, like, a third world nation or, like, a superpower. And, like, there's countries over there, not over there, but around the world, that have yet to have, like, an industrial revolution. And, like, we're way past that. You know, we're in the technological revolution right now. And, you know, they're just way, way behind. And one of the first things you have to do to bring your country from being a shithole that's run by warlords is educate the people. And when you have an educated populace, you're going to have a more democratic system of government. And you can say whatever you want, but the communists didn't educate people. They figured who was smart, educated the smart ones, and that's how communism worked. And if you want to control people, it's better to have them dumb. Like, our government controls us, and they don't tell us half the shit they should be telling us. But that's how they do it.
Okay,
at least they tell us.
Okay, support communism, eat at Papa John's.
Like, your manager doesn't want you to know how to be a manager at Papa John's.
I was.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he wouldn't want you to have that information. But not obviously, you were the manager, so you are. But look, I don't know where I'm going with this rant. I'm going to shut up right now.
There were no political.
You threw me off. I went kind of political.
Okay.
But educate your people, and we're educating another country, and I think this is a good thing.
Okay.
That's good. Verizon to carry new MSN mobile service. Microsoft, which is expanding its MSN Internet offering to attract paying customers, will work with Verizon Wireless to sell an instant messaging and email services on mobile phones. MSN Mobile will be available on three phones with Verizon's Get It Now technology for $2.49 a month for 3 months and $2.99 after that. Users can communicate with computers and cell phones using MSN's free Hotmail email and MSN's messenger instant messenger service. Microsoft said. Microsoft and Bedminster, New York-based Verizon, the largest U.S. mobile phone operator, aim to boost sales by attracting customers who are buying internet and camera-enabled phones. The new version has the same graphical design as MSN's personal computer programs and allows features such as conversations among several people. MSN already sells the newer service in South Korea. Verizon is the first to offer it in North America.
Well, that's great for Verizon bringing some technology over here for us to use.
Yeah, pimp on Microsoft, right?
Well, it's not that expensive, actually. It's like $3.
When do you think it's going to come a time where, you know, MSN's going to be the fault of people fucking with other people's cell phones? How long do you think that's going to take?
Not very long.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that to happen.
I don't actually use MSN. Are there ads on it?
Doesn't say.
Well, Microsoft is really big into digital rights management, and they're really big into ads and making money. And I'm sure there's going to be ads on cell phones really, really quick, and you're going to be paying $3 a month for the privilege of getting them.
And new worms.
All right. I'm out of articles. What about you, buddy?
I'm done.
Well, good. We kind of ended like that. Do you want to do a recap of anything you want to talk about?
No, I just want to go with the list of the week. No, actually, first we got our shirt at Q. She's come back for the third
Excellent.
Week in a row. And go ahead, Shirley.
Well, this here is Shirley Q. Look at how you doing this morning. Well, honey, I ended up at the wrong place last night. Lord, I must have told that cab driver something wrong, because I ended up in a bar just full of women. Big, muscular women. Oh, Lord, what they call them? Bulldoggers. Uh-huh. I'm talking big, no lipstick wearing bulldoggers. Big old hairy leg bulldoggers. It just, and some of them had a jewelry on, but not many of them. And there, one of them had no hair. Both of them were bald-headed. I sit up there looking like Angela Davis. And real radical big old bulldog. One of them was sitting up there reading poetry. Talking about her anxiety. And the world was all on her nerves. I hollered out, I know that's right, honey. I said, have you applied for the check yet? if it's going to be misery, you might as well get paid for it. And they thought that was something, because all them old bulldoggers surround me, and they said, preach on, woman. I guess I wasn't looking very good, and I just went to Holland, and one of them bought me a Budweiser, another one bought me a Schlitz malt liquor, and this one handed me a Miller Lite. Before I know it, it was lights out. I don't know, nothing happened after that. I had a black spot. But the bulldoggers got me home safe and everything, so praise God for them. Well, all right then, you tell your mama, I said, how's she doing? Bye, hun.
And thank you, Shirley, for that lovely little story.
Okay, and we just want to go ahead with the stuff of the week. The site of the week is, of course, it's going to be a site called bugmenot.com. It's going to be in the show notes. That's bugmenot.com. It's basically, if you go to a lot of news sites, they always want to fucking get you to register, right? You have to go through all this shit. Bugmenot pretty much is a password site. You type in like WashingtonPost.com or whatever, and it gives you the passwords for it, so you don't have to register. Beautiful thing.
Now, these are free passwords that you can get just by registering. You don't have to pay money for these, right?
Right. Well, yeah. This is not illegal, because you can get the password by yourself, but it saves you from registering.
Mm-hmm.
It saves you a lot of time, which is good. Love it. The quote of the week, of course, was...
Bell South is getting goodwill by providing free beer.
Okay. And the cunt of the week, of course, was that guy we talked about earlier. And the term of the week is...
Oh, shit. I'm outside. I forgot what the term of the week was. I'm not really good at this radio thing, am I?
You're slacking.
I am slacking today. We played with Skype for a lot, and I was very energetic, but now I'm kind of tired. And I'm dreading that whole 12-hour workday tomorrow. Okay.
Today's word is forsooth.
I got the word. I'm ready here, buddy.
Oh, you got it?
Yes. It's called a night letter. And a night letter is something you will never, ever actually come across anymore. But back in the days, when a business wanted to send something really quick to another company, they used Western Union, which was the major telecommunications company in the world, and they sent a telegram. Well, the less formal thing than a telegram was called a night letter. It's a method of written, rapid communication, which is similar to, but less expensive than a telegram. A message is given to a wire service, which transmits it to its destination city, where it's delivered or phoned the next day. It's also called a mailgram or a... I don't know what that word is. Anyway, it's also called a mailgram, and it's a really old term. You'll never hear it, but that's how we used to do stuff.
How you used to do stuff, right? Since you're like 80 years old?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
That's it.
What else we got?
I guess that's it.
All right. Well, y'all, for closing music. Shout out to Pixel Fiend. And that iPod's coming, buddy. We're working on it hard.
Also,
I got the headphones today. I spray painted them white. They're ready to go.
Okay, is this all the shots you got?
That's all I got.
Okay, I got one for Pixelfing 2. Kizzle for hosting the show.
Okay, thanks, Kizzle.
Thanks, Kizzle. Of course, the website's hackermedia.net/droops, DROOPS.
Well, we're changing the name, remember, to Infonomicon.
Right, and we'll give you that address soon. also, I want to give shouts out to Stank Dog.
Mm-hmm.
At BinaryRevolution.com. Even though he probably hates us now.
Whatever.
We love you. I love him. How about you?
I love him. I'm thinking about taking some naked pictures of myself and sending them to him.
You think he'll talk about it on the show?
I'm sure he'll put them up where people can see them.
Yeah, we don't hate him. We just, you know... He gave us a spanking. We didn't think we deserved it. And now we're crying about it.
Yes. If you say so.
Hey, listen, I love metaphors. So, closing music is going to be...
Revolution by the Beatles.
By the Beatles?
And, like, I don't usually listen to the show's music because I don't really like a lot of it. And I'm sure y'all have all heard this song before.
But really listen to what the words say. Like, this song isn't for selling Nike shoes. Like, this song is a song of revolution. Listen to it. It's a really good song.
You done?
And everybody, good night. And Obfuscated, you're an idiot.
Also, we have to give our email addresses out. Your email address?
Is droops@gmail.com.
And mine is lab5ae@gmail.com.
Who gave you that Gmail address?
You did, sir.
Did I?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
You want me to give a shout-out to you?
No, no. I was just wondering.
Okay. Okay, and this has been Infonomicon number 6, and we're out of here.
Later.
Revolution, well, you know, we all want to change the world. But when you talk about destruction, don't you know that you can count me out? Don't you know it's gonna be alright? Alright. Right. You say you got a real solution. Well, you know, we don't love to see the plan. You ask me for a contribution. Well, you know, we all do. But if you want money for people with minds that hate, all I can tell you is, brother, you have to wait. All right. All right. All right. Of Chairman Mao, you ain't gonna make it with anyone anyhow.